Morning. Yeah. I like this. I like how there's a big spotlight. So the two people that say good morning, you actually believe there are only two people out there. Anyway, it's great to be here this morning. I know some of you are probably curious as to what I'm doing up here on stage and not giving announcements, because most of you probably know me as the guy that stands up here and yells announcements. And then there are very few lucky ones of you that I have the privilege of teaching with your kids on Sundays and Wednesdays. And you may know me as the guy that screams at your kids on Sundays and Wednesdays. But luckily today you fine people get the privilege of having me scream at you now. But I just want to say thank you to Brian, to the church, for giving me this opportunity to be here this morning and to preach. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you, I've never done two services in a row. Now, I've done a Sunday morning and then, you know, afternoon, go eat, do this, whatever, come back Sunday night, I've preached that. I've never done two in a row. And so the first one, I was extremely nervous. And so I thought, well, maybe by the second one, I would be less nervous. Not really. Anyway, I'm sure we'll make our way through that. The thing is I was really excited because I thought, for sure, I know I would get support from people. And I'm glad for that. But I was really excited because I told Misty this week, said, and I am just so nervous to be going and preaching, here this Sunday. And she said, no, you're going to do great. You're going to do fine. And I said, well, at least it's good because, you know, if I start to feel uncomfortable, start to get a little scared or nervous, I can look out in the crowd and look at you and know everything's going to be all right. And she said, well, sure, you know, for the second service. And I said, well, you're not coming to the first one? She goes, I'm not getting up that early to come hear you preach. So I'm not really sure if you chose to come to this one or just you didn't want to get up that early to hear me the first time. Needless to say, we're where we're at and we're here. And I believe God is really going to speak to us this morning. We've been looking at Isaiah 58, Closer to Reality. On July 21st, 1969, a date that some of you may know, you may have been witness to it, you may have read about it in the history books, I'm not sure why it would seem familiar to you, but if you do know your history, you know on that specific day at 2:56 lunar time, Neil Armstrong descended from the landing module of the Apollo spacecraft and put his foot on the lunar surface. The first time man had ever set foot off of this soil and onto the soil of someplace else. And if you know your history and you've seen the broadcast on TV, or maybe you were lucky enough to observe it at that time, you remember his statement. That is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Very profound, very, very, you know, empowering statement. But I wonder how many of us know he actually messed it up. Actually messed it up. Now, I'm no stranger to messing things up. I remember the first time I was called on to pray as a child in my church. I was actually 12 years old, and I'd heard people pray before, and it was at the end of service, and I remember the pastor, he said, David, would you dismiss us in prayer? And I mean, I was like the first kid that ever got to pray out loud in church. And I was like pumped, and I was like, wow, cool. And all my friends are like, oh, and I'm like, yes. And so I said, dear God, bless this food on the table. Didn't quite have the spiritual impact I imagined, especially when my friends started going, stupid, you know. And by then I didn't know what else to say, so I said, amen. And that was the last time I got prayed on to call out loud in church for a long time. I don't understand. But, you know, I'm no stranger to making mistakes myself. But Neil Armstrong himself has admitted that he rehearsed that line over and over and over all the way there. And he said, I just kept reading it over and over because I wanted to say something dramatic. I wanted to leave the American people and the world with something, you know, amazing about this first time. And he actually left out a word. The original intent of what he was going to say was, that is one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, what's the big deal? I mean, you left out A. That's not that important. It is if you think about it in the context of what he was trying to say. You see, when we say that's one small step for man, we begin to think once again globally. We know that we use the word man. In the Bible, they use the word man to represent all of humanity. Man, woman, child, old, young, it doesn't matter. Every race, every nation, that word represents all. But you see, what he was actually wanting to convey is that one person, one individual with one insignificant motion would make such an impact on all of mankind. And so when you think about it in the sense of one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind, it takes on a whole new meaning. It's a little different. To me, it even makes more of an impact. You see, as we've learned over the last several weeks, and I hope you've been paying attention, I hope you've been listening to what Brian and Jason have been preaching about becoming closer to reality. And as we look this morning at the final two verses in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, we see a step that needs to be taken by just a man, an individual, that will not only bring us closer to reality, but that can have an impact on all of humanity. And it starts simply with that one motion. If you have your Bibles there, you need to turn and look. Isaiah chapter 58, like I said, we're finishing up this chapter. We're on the last two verses. And he says this, verse 13, "If you would turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." We see here, as he's gotten down to these last few verses, we see that as we've listened the last few weeks about becoming closer to reality, about, you know, going out and making an impact, getting out of our comfort zone, and getting outside of the box, as we like to call it. Whatever you want to say, we've been hearing that over and over, not only just spoken, but from God's Word directly on what we need to do, how we need to react to it. And the thing is there's one last step in this particular chapter, but not one last step for us to take, and that is that we, as he says in verse 13, need to turn our foot away from the Sabbath. This step that we're talking about is removing ourselves from the equation. You say, well, now wait a second. You're talking about how I can go out and impact people, and yet you want me to remove myself from the equation? How's that going to work? Well, it's going to work from the standpoint of we're not really that needed. We think we are. We think we're of great importance. And we say, well, how's God going to do any of it if it's not me that's going and doing it? How is God going to accomplish anything if it's not me going and doing it? We'll find that out in just a little bit. The first thing I want to point out, though, is in regards to this Sabbath that he's talking about. Now, obviously, we know that if in this particular verse of Scripture, he's speaking of the specific day that was set aside for us, the people at that time, to worship him, the Sabbath day. And so I do not want to get caught up and have someone get offended because we're taking this Scripture and throwing it totally out of context and saying, well, you're just kind of going on your own idea here. That's not what I want to convey, and that's not what I want you to leave here with. I do want you to know that, yes, he was speaking specifically of that day right there. We know with the Ten Commandments, Sabbath day, let's honor it, let's keep it holy, right? We know the Sabbath day lines out things we should and should not do on the Sabbath. All kinds of legalities there. All kinds of rules and regulations. But Jesus, in the New Testament, as he went about teaching, he also went about healing. And at one particular time, he was healing on the Sabbath day, and all of the religious people at the time said, you can't do that, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. And Jesus informed them that the Sabbath was created for their benefit, for our benefit. And that, yes, as a time to be separated and for God. Now you say, okay, what's the point? The point is this, is that the Sabbath is what we make it. What we make it. Now you say, well, no, today is the Sabbath. Well, we obviously know in biblical times the Sabbath actually fell on Saturday. So if we want to get down to the legal issues here, if we want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, we can really get down to it and we can get really confused, really legalistic, and really structured in our view of the Sabbath. And I don't want us to do that this morning. I want us to look at the intent. Because if we do, then we start talking about the things that we can and can't do on Sunday. Well, you can't mow your lawn. You can't go do this. You can't go out and eat. You can't watch football. I can tell you right now, next Sunday, after church, I will be watching football. The deal is you may say, well, that just sounds, I have a tremendous responsibility. You see, I am the defending fantasy football champ of the church. Thank you. And I have a tremendous responsibility. So therefore, much to Misty's chagrin and her discomfort, the TV will be on from the moment we get home to the moment we go to small group, and then afterwards, so that I can take in as much football as possible to not only defend my championship, but build my dynasty the way I envision it. So I'll be watching football. But you know what? If we were going to take the scripture and we were going to analyze it and get down to it personally, you know what? I would not be watching football. Because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But we're not looking at it legalistically. We're not looking at it in the structured sense of the Sabbath day in the day itself. We're looking at it in the time that it is. The opportunity that it presents to us to be connected with God. That's what the Sabbath is about. It is our chance for us to come to a place and worship Him. And as we worship Him, grow closer to Him. And as we grow closer to Him, gain knowledge of Him. And as we gain knowledge of Him, use that knowledge and apply it in our lives so that we can make a difference. Sounds a little bit like what we've been hearing about the last several weeks in Isaiah 58. The problem is we get in the way. We get in the way. If we take the Sabbath, we set it aside, and we look at the idea behind it, and that is the chance for us to spend time with God, and we've got that in our minds now, then we've got to look at what the problem is that would create us to be separated from God in that moment, and that is us. Now, I'm liable to step on some toes this morning. I'm good at that. Because the deal is I've had my toes stepped on before. Because I have once considered myself to be really important and really special. And I've come to find out that, you know what? Those people that are driving to Fort Smith every morning, that are driving 55, and they're not moving over to let me go around because I'm important, they don't care who I am. They don't care where I'm going. Thing is I'm not as important as I thought I was, come to find out. The thing is, with us, as church people, we sometimes have a problem. We sometimes have a problem forgetting this is not about us. We sometimes think, well, I've come here this morning because I'm here to receive a blessing from God. God, you don't understand. I got up, I got dressed, I brushed my teeth, I fixed my hair, except maybe my son apparently. But I've come this morning and I'm here this morning and you're here to bless me, God. That's what it's all about. No, it's not. The funniest thing, I thought about this. You want to get arguments started in church? And you're thinking, no, not really. But if you really want to get arguments started in church, number one, start talking about colors. I remember when we were planning a church over in Charleston, and we got down to the colors, and we had the old ladies group, and we had the young group. And every meeting went from God honored and blessed and focusing on the needs of the church and the community to arguing about what color the carpet was going to be. And if you've never been a part of a meeting like that, I can tell you, it's not really fun. And yet, although it is funny, because you would find it hard to believe that really that's that important, but it is. Ask somebody. But you want the second most thing that can get argued about in church? And I can tell you, because Misty and I argue about it. Air conditioning. You see, I'm of the belief that this church never uses it. And that's because no matter where I am in this church, I burn up. I sweat. I originally accused Brian of coming in and making it so hot just so that he could literally scare the hell out of us because it's hot. I don't want to go there. But I am of that opinion. I am of the opinion that we don't use air conditioning in this church. Now, on the other hand, my wife believes that's all we do in this church is turn on air conditioning. And she like has to strategically place herself so that she doesn't feel any vents because she freezes in church. Now, the thing is, you may say, well, what's the point? What are you trying to say here? You're talking about, you know, air conditioning. You're talking about colors. You're talking about all this stuff. You know, shouldn't we want to come to church and shouldn't we be comfortable coming to church? Yes, I believe there's a certain amount of comfort that needs to be brought into our lives in coming here. That's okay. I appreciate the lights. I appreciate what little air I get to feel when I'm here. But you know what? Who cares what you think? Who cares what you think? Because the deal is, it's not about you. It's about God. And the problem is, when we walk through those doors, not only of this church, but of any church, when we walk into God's presence, even at our Bible study at home, all of a sudden, it's about me. God, what are you going to do for me? God, what is it about me that makes me special? God, what is it that is going to focus everything on me? He said there in Isaiah 58 verse 13, he wants you to turn your foot from the Sabbath day. Quit thinking about your ideas. Quit making your plans. Quit focusing on yourself and begin to focus and honor him. Now you may say, well, you sure are big and bad up there preaching like you are. I'm preaching to myself. See, when I was a full-time minister, I did the same thing. I'd get up Sunday morning, and I'd go and I'd teach Sunday school, and then I would lead singing, and then I would go and do children's church, and then we'd come back that afternoon, and I'd lead the choir in choir practice, and then we'd come back that night, and I would lead the singing, and if it was youth night, I would preach, and then on Wednesday night, I'd run a van, and I'd go get kids, and then I'd bring them there, and I'd teach, and then I'd take them home, and man, I was working, I was doing great. I was awesome. But yet a lot of the times I forgot what I was even there for because I was so caught up in what I was doing. You see, God wants us to remove ourselves from the equation so that He can actually be doing. And if we don't, we just seem to get in the way. Had a guy one time, he told me he was at Fridays, I believe it was, and he had gone to the restroom and he was coming out of the restroom and he said, you know those instances where you walk up and you meet somebody and you go to step around them and they step the same way and you feel a little awkward, embarrassed. So, you know, you're like almost doing a little two-step. He said, I did that. I came out of the restroom and he said, and I couldn't see very well. And he said, my eyes were a little blurry. And he said, I was walking up and sure enough, a guy walked into the restroom and I kind of was like, whoa. And he's like, whoa. And he's like, we kind of in each other way. So we kind of laughed and he said, we stepped over. He said, when I stepped over, he stepped over. And he was like, you know, this was getting silly. So I stepped back over and he did the same thing. And then he was thinking, is this guy being a smart aleck? Is he really just, you know, trying to get in my way? He said, so I thought to myself, I'm going to step over one more time. And if he moves, we're going to have problems. So he said, I stepped over. And sure enough, the guy stepped over. And he said, I just snapped. He said, so I reached up to grab him by the throat. He said, that's when I hit the mirror. That's not the only story I could tell you about him, but that's another time. The thing is we get in the way. We get in the way of God doing what He originally has for us to do because we get in the way and we fumble it all up. We make a mess. We destroy the plans because we get in there and we think it's all about us. We think we're special. We think we're high and mighty. We think it should be done our way. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what God wants. And I know it's true. I've done it in my own life. And I'm not sitting here saying every person that's sitting here this morning is that way, but I can guarantee you that a lot of us are, because when we come into this place, we come for us. Now, I mentioned it earlier. Hey, I don't think there's a better place for us to be. Honestly, I don't think there's a better church out there than Emmanuel. I think we get great biblical teaching. I think we have great love amongst the people, and there is no way, even though I haven't attended a lot of churches above, there is no way we get that kind of worship anywhere else. Our church is awesome. And I remember when we were at Atkins, we used to compete with other churches. We used to compete with them for kids, because we didn't want them to go to that church. That church over there is not as good as our church. Our church was better. And so every Sunday, every Wednesday, it was a constant battle to go out and grab kids so they wouldn't go to that church over there because our church was better. Now, it was. But our whole focus was going on and capturing those kids. And the whole time, every church in town was ignoring the one child who was by himself, who had no one. Maybe no parents that loved him or cared. Possibly an outcast at school. But instead of running and grabbing that child, instead of grabbing him and saying, we've got something awesome to share with you. Jesus loves you and you have a place in heaven and you have a place with us. Instead, we focused all of our energy and our time on going out and grabbing kids that were going to another church because that church wasn't as cool as ours. Because it was all about us. So I'm not up here preaching at you. I'm up here preaching with you because you know what? If we don't take ourselves out of the equation, we get so focused on the wrong things that God is not able to move. And we totally ignored those kids. We totally ignored them. And the thing is a lot of times we put so much effort and energy into those other kids that they swap back and forth so much that even now we, because Misty's on Facebook, I'm not, by the way, but Misty's on Facebook, she looks up and some of them are, you know, contacting her and stuff, and we're finding out about these other, and a lot of those students, at least half of them, aren't living for God anymore. They're off doing their own thing. Because why? The whole time they were with God and they could have been being focused on God and seeing people focused on letting God be number one in their lives, they never really saw that. And instead, there could have been a kid that was touched by God that could right now, as we speak, be in Uzbekistan, as Randall put it, reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to remove ourselves from the equation. You know, I was walking by at the university the other day, and of course classes have started. I know all of the students are just thrilled school's in session. I know I personally am for the students to be there and in my way. Granted, it's because of them I have a job, so I can't really complain too much. But I was walking by in the math science building, and I was observing a class in progress because, you know, I like cool things too. And I was walking by, and I believe I'm a man of the people. Obviously, you guys know I'm incredibly shy, so it takes a lot for me to get out of my shell. But I was walking by, and they were doing some experiments, so I stopped, and I walked into the class, and I just observed what was going on. And what they were doing is they were taking a sponge, and they were putting it in different materials. And they were letting that sponge soak it up. And it was really neat because they had it in this, you know, substance over here, and it was really cool. And they're all, cool, that's awesome. And I'm like, cool, that's awesome. And I was watching them and I started thinking, what if we were like that? What if we were like that when we came into God's house? And instead of sitting there and letting it all be magnified about us, that everything from the very first note that was played to the very last amen that was said, everything was just spent in absorbing everything possible that God had to offer so that we could soak it up and we could be full. Deal is, I've heard it said a lot of times, the church people are full of it. But rarely do I hear it mentioned because of it's the Spirit. But imagine if we took and absorbed as much as we possibly could. Imagine if we took the opportunity this morning, right now, to listen to what God is saying. Not me, not just an idea, not just a closer to reality, but to what God is saying so that we absorb everything that we possibly can. Because the coolest thing is not in the absorbing. It's what happens after that. You see, because what would happen is, inevitably one of the students, probably a jock, would grab the sponge and go, watch this, and he would squeeze it. And when he squeezed it, that substance would scatter everywhere. And that's when it hit me. If we were like that and we absorbed everything about God, imagine the impact that could be made when we're squeezed. Because you see, a lot of times when we come to church to avoid the world. We come because we spent all week driving to Fort Smith on Highway 112, also known as the Devil's Highway. We've come to church on Sunday to get away from them because we've had to work all week. Maybe we've pulled a double. We've done whatever. We've done overtime and we're tired. We're worn out. Maybe we've got to get up and go to work tomorrow and we're not looking forward to it. Maybe we've come to church because, you know, it's the only place where we can go and we don't hear our fellow students putting us down or cursing or telling dirty jokes or doing whatever. Maybe we've come because we just want to get away from the world. That sounds really good. But the idea for coming to this place is not to get away from the world. It's to absorb whatever we can so we can go and share with the world. And so that Monday when you get up, and even though you really don't want to go to work, and even though you really, really don't want to drive, and even though you really, really don't want to go to class, and even though you really, really have better ideas than doing whatever it is you're having to go do, the pressures of everything that's coming on around you, whether it's coworkers, whether it's enemy, whether it's even your family that you can't seem to even escape from and get a break from, when everything crushes in upon you, when everything squeezes in on you, instead of collapsing and turning into nothing, you shoot out the Spirit of God. Imagine how cool that would be. I don't know. I don't know if you're not excited about that concept or not. But I am, because I would love for every one of my coworkers to see when everything is coming at me, instead of me wilting and instead of me getting aggravated and instead of me getting beat down about it, all of a sudden I expand and shoot out the love of God, the compassion of God, the things of God. But to do that means I have to be out of the way. He says, I want you to remove your foot from it. I want you to remove your imprint, your idea of what this is about, and I want you to focus on me. I want you to honor me with this. And then in verse 14, he says this. He says, if you will, verse 13, he says, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. Not of a conscious effort, not of a have to, not of a, well, I'm kind of being made to. I was made to go and I'm made to listen and now I'm going to be made to be, you know, really fully full of God. No, he says, if you, each and every one of us individually, will take time to remove ourselves from the equation. He says, then you will delight yourself in God. Because He automatically is going to come in and fill you up. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to make some sort of restitution here. As soon as you remove yourself from the equation, God has room to work. And when He has room to work, He will fill you up and He will allow you to delight yourself in the Lord. And you may say, well, okay, that sounds good. I want to delight myself in the Lord. That sounds exciting. That's like the first thing you've said all morning that I like. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, He says, I am going to then lift you up and make you ride high. Okay, now it's getting even better. Because now we're back on me. Now we're back on, look at me, look at what I'm doing, look at what I'm accomplishing. Not exactly. He's talking in general that people will look to you. Not for you, but look to you to see Him. To know that He is a God that loves and has compassion and does care and wants to reach out and help them, not only physically or emotionally, but certainly spiritually. To know that there is a place that they can go, that while there are other gods in the world, even though there are other religions that promote all of this stuff, that there's only one place that they can go and truly receive the love that they deserve, and that is to Him. It's only then. You know, our problem is we want the blessings because we want to be blessed. I mean, obviously, we come here, we want to be blessed. I would love to have this, God. Thank you so much for this, God. But the reality is if we really want to be blessed, why aren't we blessed in the ways of God? And the fact that we're reaching out to those people and that they no longer see us, but they see God. They see Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about what we are doing or what we are saying or what we are giving. It is about God. Because you see, when we get full of God, we get motivated to do extraordinary things. And you know what? You may never ever set foot in Uzbekistan. You may never ever even give a dollar to Uzbekistan. You may never ever even think to pray for Uzbekistan. But if you will absorb yourself in God, and when you are squeezed, begin to let that flow out, then immediately around you, the people closest to you are going to notice that. And it's going to begin to make a difference in them. And it's going to begin to change them. And it may be your family. It may be your coworkers. It may be friends that you gather to watch games or to play games with, or even in your small group. It may be your enemies that all of a sudden notice a change in you and become motivated because what they see in you to make a difference. And that circle continues to grow beyond Emmanuel, beyond Poto, beyond Oklahoma, and into the greater uttermost parts of the earth, even Uzbekistan. So even though you personally had nothing to do with it, someone that you influenced now all of a sudden is sharing Uzbekistan the gospel. That's a pretty big ripple effect. All started by one small step of us removing our foot from what God intended. You know, the thing is my favorite time of year. Fall, cooler temperatures, obviously. Football. We get to arguing. Football people love to argue. I'm not sure if you've noticed this or not, but football people love to argue. Who is number one? Well, obviously Oklahoma's number one right now. So, you know, all you OSU, Arkansas, Texas fans, just, you know, sorry. The thing is how do we really know? Yeah, they're number one in the polls, but their score wasn't any more impressive than someone else's. So someone else is probably over there arguing, well, so-and-so should be number one because they beat their team by that many more points. Or this person over here should be number one because their team is situated in the right frame of mind, I believe, as an upstart, you know, to sweep in there and surprise everybody. They should be number one. And we will argue about this, ladies and gentlemen, all the way through to the end of January when they play a game. And at the end of that game, the one team will be crowned the champions and everybody will go, they're number one, except somebody over here goes, well, if they'd have played my team, they wouldn't have won, and so therefore my team's number one. The argument never ends, in other words. My question to you right now is, who is number one? In your place inside of you this morning, who is number one? Is it us or is it God? Have we come in here this morning for us, or have we come in here for Him? And if we've come in the right frame of mind, or if in the midst of anything that the Spirit is touching you with right now, you are making a difference and you are making a change, you will be impacting people all around you. It is said that 450 million people watched Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon. Now, that's a lot of people, it seems like to me, because 1969, I'm thinking, I don't really know how many TV sets were around then, because I wasn't there then. But I remember when we got our first one, and I was a young toddler, so I can imagine there were a lot of homes without TV sets. So 450 million people were impacted by Neil Armstrong taking one small step. And from that, hundreds of thousands of little boys and girls wanted to be astronauts. They wanted to fly in space. They wanted to walk on the moon. Other countries got involved, and countries that you even wouldn't think would have space programs all of a sudden were creating space programs because they wanted to go to the moon. It was that much of an impact, not only in our society, but in our history, that all of mankind rallied around it and they got pumped up about it, so that hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people all over the globe were moved. Flash ahead to 1975, the last time anyone set foot on the moon. If it was so impactful, if it was so special, if it was so monumental, 1975? I was around then, so I can tell you, that was a long time ago. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares about the moon anymore. It's nothing to them. Oh, yeah, we look at it at night up there and we say, wow, that's a beautiful full moon up there. That's a gorgeous moon. That's awesome. That's pretty. But nobody cares about going back because all of a sudden the interest has waned in putting people on the moon. And nobody's interested anymore. The thing is over the last several weeks, you've heard Brian and Jason preach. You've heard God's Word say, I want to bring you closer to reality. I want to bring you closer to going out into the world and making a difference. And by one small step, by you deciding, yes, I'm going to remove myself from the equation, let God fill me up and go out and then begin to make a difference. I want that impact. God wants that impact to not be this week, not be this month, but to last, to really truly make a difference. You don't hear kids saying, I want to be an astronaut, hardly anymore, if any of them. They all want to be a football player because he gets paid $1 million once a week. Sounds pretty good to me. They all want to be like mom or dad because they see them every day and what they're doing. My thought is God is telling His people there, I want you to remove yourself out of this so that I can come in there and so that people will see me. And that the effect will not just be a small circle, but that it will grow and it will spread and it will continue to go and go and go and go until those people that Randall mentioned earlier, to the people that we've heard about, to the people that we know even in our community that are suffering and hurting and lost will know the love of Jesus. But we got to get out of the way. So I would ask you this morning, are you willing to get out of the way? Are you willing to make this what it's about, and that is honoring God? We've come to worship this morning, and I hope you have. I hope God has blessed you through the worship. It always does me. I love it. I could listen to it all day long. I could sit right there, stand right there, and listen to these guys and ladies come up here and play and sing, and I could just be as happy as possible. No preaching, nothing else. I know you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I wish we'd have done that today instead of you getting up there and rambling for 30 minutes. But honestly, I could have come and sat and listened to that and been blessed tremendously. And it is a good thing, and that's what it's designed for. But it's designed to bring us closer to Him. And when we grow close to Him and we remove ourselves out of the equation, when we take ourselves out of the picture, when we don't make ourselves number one and we let God come in and be number one, then at least when we walk outside of these doors, we're ready to impact people in the way that we need to. Because if it's not me, who? It's whoever. God is looking for someone. He's not looking for necessarily the richest. He's not looking for the loudest. He's not looking for the most athletic. He's not looking for the greatest bloodline, the greatest heritage. He's just looking for someone that'll say, here am I, God, send me. What is it you want me to do, God, and I will do it. He's looking for someone that will say, no longer my will, but yours be done. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to do something a little different this morning. I know that we have not possibly had an opportunity to come to the front and to pray throughout this series. And I don't know if your heart's been touched as much as mine. I mean, Brian and I were sharing, and I told him how excited I was to be listening to these sermons. How excited it made me and how bad it made me feel to realize how far off base I had been in reaching people that needed to be reached. And so here in just a moment, we're going to open up this front as a time for invitation. Just for you to come. For you to make the decision. Now, go back to Neil Armstrong. He said, one small step for man. If we just leave it for the entire congregation of Emmanuel Baptist Church, that's great. There's going to be a lot that happens. There's going to be a lot of good things that happen in this world and in this community. But imagine if each person, instead of just letting it be in general, said, that's one small step for me. And you, where you're at, pray or come to the front and pray and let God be full in your life so that you can share Him with others. Imagine then the numbers of people that will be impacted. The number of people that just only you know that will be touched by what is going on. This is your decision this morning. It's your time to come closer to reality than you possibly ever have throughout this. And we just want to invite you. God wants to invite you to come and make it real.